Amen. Well, I want to welcome everybody that's here tonight. And I got Pastor Sam to my right, and I got Pastor Tim to my left. And I just want to welcome everybody that's logging on or tapping into us, whether it's through a recording or live. And if you can see what I have here, I got a wonderful plaque that was given to me from a great person who I know and I'm privileged to know. And he gave it to me, and this here is called The Last Supper. And I'm going to lay this down for a moment now. And now to speak about with it being the Last Supper, you know, that speaks in history and time, and there's a lot of story behind that. And one of the things is we're entering in a new time. You know, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he changed the dynamics of religion back then. Yeah. He basically told them the way they're worshiping and the way they're sacrificing themselves as far as the remission of sin is done away with, and that's not the way things are supposed to be done.
Yep, no longer accepted.
That's right. So he changed the course.
Yep.
And I truly believe that we're entering into the second coming of Christ. So that was like representing the first coming of Christ, and now we're coming into the second coming of Christ. And what we mean by that is we're changing the course of religion. Whether they like it or not, we're changing the course of religion because we feel as though that God is calling us to bring out truths that need to be told, just like we're now on a flow of speaking about grace and glory. And understanding what grace and glory is. And grace, for one, is there is no sin. You know, I would love to argue the fact that, and matter of fact, Pastor Tim and I were talking about sin last night. And I said we could come up against anybody and have them try to explain to me how Jesus took away sin if sin is birthed. And it's created. So how did Jesus take away your sins if it was birthed? If sin is birthed?
He didn't. You know, it's funny because we brought up the fact that Paul even brought it up and saying, why do I do the things that I do? It's because sin dwells within me.
And that's a good point.
You know.
So if it was, he knew Jesus.
He encountered
He had a divine intervention.
Yes, exactly.
And since he had a divine intervention, his life was dramatically changed because he was a centurion, I guess, who actually killed Christians.
Right.
And he said, why do I do the things that I don't want to do and I keep doing them? It's because of sin that dwells within him.
But you know what's awesome? Paul did not condemn himself for the sin. He basically separated himself from the sin.
I don't even judge myself.
He doesn't even judge himself.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Whereas in the Christian world, the religious world, whatever religion it is, they bring condemnation from sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't feel that certain sins can be forgiven, and you know, but that's where grace falls short.
Exactly right, and that's where grace comes into.
And it comes into.
See, right, yeah. The reason why Paul never judged himself, as Pastor Sam said, is because he knew the Christ divine nature within himself. And so what he was doing was he was living towards that and dying to the flesh, which was the sin that dwelled within him. So he was transforming from glory to glory to glory to glory. And he was dying daily to the sin that dwelled within him.
Right.
So what he was doing was he was receiving grace, which was giving him knowledge to change the way he was thinking, come to a place of repentance. And as he repented, and he I guess you could say, took on the knowledge and transformed his nature more towards the divine nature. And he was being transformed into the divine nature, which is the realm of glory. Mm. And, you know, we know that when you entertain the flesh and you feed and fulfill the desires of the flesh, that's when it starts to conceive sin.
Yep.
And then when you continue to conceive it and continue to entertain it, sin begins to be birthed.
It goes desire first, and then sin is actually created by man. Desire comes in. When desire is not dealt with, it becomes lust.
Yeah, it's when, like, sin's like floating around.
Correct. Yes. And when lust is fully matured, it becomes sin.
Mm-hmm.
Man creates sin, where mm-hmm. God creates grace. Man created sin will kill you. Yep. God created grace will save you.
Correct.
Yeah, and we're saved by grace. Grace.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, so when we say that sin is created, we're talking about sin is floating out there. The world offers sin. They offer, you know, indulgence.
Exactly right.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Temptation.
Temptation and indulgement.
Where correct. You're overindulging in whatever.
Yeah, I like to enhance on what that means, because it's almost like it's okay to have a drink here and there, you know? But when you indulge into it,
and it becomes an addiction.
And it becomes an addiction, or you really, it consumes you to when where it, you can't live without
it. When it controls you.
Yep. Yeah. And you can't function without it.
Yep. Then it becomes sin.
Which I think that's the point of lust.
Sure.
You're lusting after it. All you think of is this. What's lust? All I think about is this. I just want this thing. It's all I want. All I can think about, it's a lust. Mm-hmm. And then that's the worst stage, because then it overtakes you.
Right.
And you lose all power to it.
And then there's a lot of other things, too, that can be encamped around it. Like, there's that manipulation. You can lie. You can cheat, yep. steal. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Kill somebody or kill something, you know?
Yeah, to get your ways and stuff. Anger manifests itself, and it all evolves around the lust of the flesh, things of the world, birthing, and then sin is formed. Now, here's a thing that really needs to be brought out, that there are Christians out there that say to themselves,
fragrance? Yeah, smell something, fragrance.
So there is something out there that there are Christians out there that go ahead and start still living their life and not even taking any accountability. And they'll say, well, you know, my sins are forgiven because of, you know, Jesus.
Right.
And we're in a new time. And this is why I'm bringing this up. We're in a new time. We're in a new age.
Right. We were speaking about that last night.
We're in a new age.
You know, as you said earlier, real quick, you were talking about Jesus when he came here. When he came to the people, they were following a written law.
Yeah, there's a new age. Right. And Jesus.
And,
yeah,
then, and Jesus the law that he preaches is a law written on your heart, which is your conviction. And you're talking about people sitting around doing nothing. They have a conviction that they're supposed to be following, and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're following the written law still. They're still following the Bible. They're still following the written law. They're not following mm-hmm. the conviction. And they're still following the Old Testament.
Correct.
Most of them. None of them have really come into the New Testament yet. Until you follow your conviction. And that hasn't happened yet with many people.
A lot of people that are, because we grew up in the Christian sector, a lot of people will take the scriptures literally, like, hey, if Jesus is telling me to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the poor, and they're following that law.
They follow works.
Works,
They think that works is serving God when it's not. It's following the conviction of your heart. God wrote a law on every single person's heart, and that law is your life.
Yeah.
And if you don't follow the conviction that leads to your life, you're not going to ever find a life. You're going to follow the law,
right.
Which is just basically, you know, feed do's, the poor, don'ts, go preaching. Yeah. You know, there's things that that you just follow the book. And the book, you know, the letter of the law killeth,
yep.
but the Spirit gives life.
There was a scripture verse that you brought up many moons ago, and it said people read the scriptures, and in these they think they find eternal life.
But they won't come unto
him. But they won't come unto God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the God is within your heart, and following that conviction, following the unctions, following the commandments that he put there.
Most people have gotten so caught up in the world and the cares of this world that they don't even know their conviction. It's mingled with everything else in them, and it's a still soft voice, and you know, they don't even know it. They never even, they're just used to following their emotions. Their emotions run their life. Their emotions are telling them to go here, tell them about their conviction. It's not there. The conviction is emotionless. It's a still soft voice that's a leading, you know. It's not like, it's not up, down, it's medium. It's even keel, whether you're in the valley or the mountain. And that's following your conviction. You know, there's no really emotion about it. It's different, you know. It's a know that you know that you know, and you follow that still soft voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's even like a sensing, like it's like a sensing, like, okay, I have to do this,
yep,
or I won't do this. You know, there's a conviction there that it's internal inside of you, and it's like, all right, you know what? It's steering me to go this way, or it's steering me to go that way.
And sometimes you don't really want to go that way.
Right.
Look at Jesus going to the cross. He said, Father, if you will, let this cup pass from before me. But nevertheless, not my will. Sometimes following the conviction isn't easy. It goes against everybody's grain, and you got to be ready to go against everything and follow your heart. And that's what God's all about. He's about following your path, not worrying about everybody else is telling you, anybody else is doing. You got to blaze your own and let God lead you in that direction.
And that ultimately, when we obey that, despite the fears and the worries and all that other stuff, because most of the time we can't do it on our own strength, because God commands us through our own heart almost the impossible. Yeah. Because he wants to reveal himself within us. He wants to reveal himself that he's with us. Right. And so he moves on your heart and makes you do the impossible in your own mind.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's not impossible, because there's nothing impossible with God. So
he goes before you. Yep.
So if he's moving upon your heart through faith, you need to believe within him you can do all things, and all things are possible with him. So it's important to embrace that inner feeling, or that inner man, or that inner voice, or that inner inspiration, or the inner anointing, or however you want to word it. And then to tear down the thoughts and what people think that they are thinking about you, you know, because most of the time our thoughts are always negative.
Right.
They're always against the heart of God. They're always saying that you can't do it, you sound weird, or you look weird.
How's it going to happen?
I don't have the money, you know. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's all negative. And it really not allows you to walk on water, so to say.
It's really a big discouragement.
Yeah.
You know, it discourages you from walking in the promises of God.
Correct.
You
know? And this is actually the spiritual warfare that Christianity so-called speaks about, which have no idea what spiritual warfare is.
Correct.
Spiritual warfare is warring against the thoughts of the mind, against the passion and the desire of the heart. And when you can come to that spiritual warfare and understand who God is and embrace his love, embrace his care, embrace his life that he has for you, then you say, okay, I'm going to do it. It's not my will, but it's his will, and I'm going to do it. My mind's telling me I can't. My mind's telling me everything else. But you know what? I'm going to believe. I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to walk in it. And then this is when you do, you enter into the realm of glory.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, grace and glory. Grace is like the knowledge of God and knowing him and knowing the truth and knowing where he dwells and the kingdom and all this other and the power that all belongs to him. We can't do nothing in our own strength. And then when we do obey his voice and we do come into alignment with his will, then we enter into a realm of glory. And then that's what made Jesus the King of Glory. You see, he said, Peter, get away from me. You don't have the mind of God. And he followed himself because his purpose 2,000 years ago was to change the doctrine of religion back then.
Yeah.
Religion was sacrificing animals. And he said, listen, people, I'm going to show you that God doesn't desire these sacrifices anymore. And because you're having a hard time believing it, I came as the ultimate sacrifice. So watch, I'm going to lay my life down for you. That's how they took that message as he died for their sins.
Yep.
When he was just trying to show them that God doesn't want those sacrifices anymore, and he had to put himself in a position of, I'll be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Yep. When the reality of it is, sin was already taken away.
Correct.
Yep. It's just that the law of man has developed this type of sacrifice for the remission of sin, because religion wanted to keep putting sin on people, even though sin was being birthed by people. But they really needed to say, get a control of yourself, get control of your lust, because you're feeding your flesh, and your flesh is birthing sin.
But the religious leaders wanted them to stay in sin so that they would feel needed.
Sure, you know, of course.
I can keep going to this guy, and he's going to tell me, hey, do this, do that, and then kill the goats or the bulls or whatever.
Well, that's the way evil works.
Yeah.
Evil works regulation. By beating the other person down,
yeah.
Making them feel bad, making them feel guilty, making them feel as though they did something wrong so that they can be looked upon as superior.
And controlled.
Yep. You know, God doesn't want any of us to be put in that position, and we have to literally come against those things that do try to put that stuff upon you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, you know, look, there's going to be many people that aren't going to approve of what you do when you walk in God. That's why Jesus said, don't find it, you know, strange if they persecute you, because they persecuted me too. So anybody that follows the conviction of their heart or the message that's inside of them, and they follow their life, the world and the spiritual darkness that is out there,
that's good.
And they manifest through anybody.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like a dark cloud comes. It can be your best friend, or it could be your mother, or it could be your father, or it could be your family members, or, you know. Listen, Jesus had to say, Peter, get behind me, Satan, because you don't have the... And he loved Peter, you know. Yeah. Peter was like his boy, you know. Yeah. And he said, you don't have the mind of God, so get away from me, you know, Satan. So these dark forces take on... They just hate. Darkness hates when you line up with your life.
It's the light.
The life that's within.
They hate it.
You see? They hate it.
Yep.
You know? And we just have to embrace not being so concerned about what others think or say. Kind of live your life and become that bubble.
Yeah, because, you know, when you start following your heart, you realize that God's alive and you can have a relationship with him. And God's a jealous God, and he wants to have a relationship. He wants to have time with you. He wants to have time with you apart from everybody else. And when you experience the relationship with God, it's all you want. It's all you really want. Nothing else even matters. And God tries to establish that through us. I mean, he might cut off some people in your life that aren't good for you, but he'll keep the ones that are, but he'll cut off the ones that aren't, because he wants to establish that relationship. Because if he just comes to you, you know, once in a while, once a week or once a month, you know, there's no relationship there, but it's an everyday, you know, just like he said with Adam, and he walked in the cool of the morning with him. Mm. God wants a relationship with us, and it's a daily walk every day, and he wants that separation from the world, and,
yep.
And he'll do what he has to do to get you to that point once you acknowledge him. See, like Pastor always says, God's not created. God's not alive until you create him. He's a God of faith, and faith is not seen. You know, faith is a substance of things, you know, not seen, and you know, that's really how it happens. That's really, you know, until you create God, he's not there. And once you acknowledge and you create him, you're going to want that relationship.
So
it's true.
Moving forward, we're entering into a new age. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to prophesy this, because I believe that we all prophesy in part. And there are other denominations, other ministries, other people out there that are, you know, like prophets and seekers of God and trying to hear what God is saying within that hour. And I think a lot of their vision is clouded because of the cares of the world, cares of what people might think, because they're so entrenched in the doctrine.
And there's a fear of letting go. And
big time fear. Yeah. So they're probably, you know, saying, oh, Satan, stop getting in my vision. Stop getting in my... when in reality, you know, God is saying it isn't Satan. It's me. Saying that I don't desire the prophet's worship anymore. I desire to come into and understand grace that has been given. I forgave sin since the foundations of the world. You, he wants to say you idiots. Listen, I forgave sin since the foundation of the world, okay? And man brought in this law of sin, okay, and started beginning to sacrifice animals and stuff like that. And then I had to send my prophet, my son, down to tell them, hey, God took away sin, you know?
Yeah.
And to break the law that Moses wrote that was on tablets, even though God wrote them on tablets, but he had to start somewhere. See, the world has to understand that in the beginning of creation, there was Neanderthals. And as they grew into men, you know, these cavemen were becoming civilized. And, you know, you have to take in consideration the timeline of God and him coming on earth and him trying to teach these people how to actually act and live. Now we are well beyond 2,000 years, you know. We're 2017, you see, 2017 now. And we have evolved to be very civil and educated. And we are moving beyond the barbaric acts of sacrificing animals, and even the thought of somebody being sacrificing a flesh man's body, no less, as someone who's taking on sins that were born today.
Right.
Listen, it isn't jiving anymore.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
It's actually childish is what it is. Very immature.
And that's why in the Bible it said, let us move on past the elements.
Yeah.
You see, let us pass these
elementary
things.
Teaching. Yep.
Yeah, let's move on. And it's very important for this, I want to say, new age to come into the truth of the doctrine of grace. Because grace, God is saying, I forgave you already. Matter of fact, if you sin tomorrow and you change the way you're thinking,
I won't hold it against you.
He doesn't hold us against us, and he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't even line up with the old doctrine of the old age of the sacrificing, on the dying on the cross, taking away my sin. It doesn't. The grace that is being given is a wake up knowledge of seeing the light of moving beyond a man sacrificing himself for you and me and you, and allowing us to be enlightened by the love and the grace of God.
Oh,
hey, somebody's calling in from our audience.
Yes. Matter of fact, I think I might have to take this and we'll see in a minute.
Well, you know,
you pick up on this one.
There's a scripture verse that says God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the religion takes it as God is always the same. But it's not true. God is always doing a new thing. He's always changing into a new thing. He doesn't stay stagnant. He doesn't put himself in a box. He's constantly evolving and changing because he's not a God of just doing the same pattern over and over and over, because nobody knows the mind of God, and his mind is endless. It just keeps going and going and going, and so does his ways. His ways change, and by grace, we have to follow those ways. You know, he brings us into a knowledge of his ways by, you know, tapping into our heart and finding out what is written on your heart. You know, Sam and I grew up in a religion where we used to consider the Bible as the ultimate word, and we had to follow the Bible strictly to a T. Well, God changed us from that. He said, look, that's my written word, and that's only there for as part of a guidance, but the true living word is inside of you, and it's the commandments that are written on your heart. Each person has a commandment that might be different from one another, and that's what makes us unique, and we're the same but separate. You know, because Sam has a different walk in a relationship with God than me, but we do come together in one like mind and one like spirit.
Correct.
You know, I support him and he supports me. We have people that come to our ministry and everybody's different, and we're thankful that they're different,
But when we come together as a body in here, we're one because we all have Christ. Everybody has a divine nature of Christ in them. And the people that are here and the people that have been listening have started to receive that Christ that's within them, that divine nature.
Yeah, it's all about being transformed. You know, there's been the same things preached in Christianity for the last 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed. And the belief in it hasn't changed. They believe that Jesus took away their sins, that he died on the cross for them, but that's not true. He was the firstborn of many brethren, it says. He was the very firstborn of many. And that means there's a lot more after him. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us. And it's no different. And it says God loves us just as much as he loves his own son. And Jesus even said, listen, the seat that I'm sitting in, I'm going to give to you. Right next to the Father. I'm going to give it to you. Once you overcome, this is your seat, not just mine. True. It's your seat. True. And, you know, the old-time religion doesn't set you free. It keeps you in bondage. It keeps you condemned.
They don't think they're worthy, Sam.
That's exactly right.
You know?
It keeps you condemned and not worthy. No. You feel like you can't overcome because you're dirty, because you messed up, because you screwed up in the past. It's not true. Mm-mm. The truth is there are many, many truths. And I think it's like they're bricks and they're building a house. And each truth, if you repent from the old time religion, you know, prophet worship is not acceptable to God. There's no more sacrifices. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants us to worship him and him alone. Even Jesus said, when they started worship, he said, worship me, don't do what you're doing. Worship me not, worship God and him alone. Because he knew, you know, God was the only one. And there's a truth that we have that will transform your life. You can't keep listening to the old-time religion and worshiping Jesus and thinking you're a sinner and walking around condemned. There's a conviction. When you get the truth that we preach in here, there's a conviction that comes into your heart, not a condemnation. Conviction will lead to condemnation if you don't address conviction. If Correct. if you don't follow the conviction, if you don't do what you're convicted to do, then you'll condemn yourself because you should have followed the conviction. Your mind's going to say, I should have followed the conviction of my heart, but I didn't. Oh my God, now I'm even more of a horrible person. You'll never come out of condemnation because you never started following your conviction. The truth that we preach in here brings you to a place of listening and following God within you. All he wants is a relationship, and that conviction is his voice. It's his voice directing you. It's the conviction, the unction, the leading. It's all God. I mean, think about it. Where did it come from? It didn't come from you. It was there your whole life. Yeah. There's a conviction that's been there your whole life, and you're saying to yourself, you know, my life isn't, all you know is your life's not right. You might not know the exact direction you're supposed to go, but you know that your life's not right. You know that you don't have peace. You know that you don't have joy. You know you're missing something. And I had this, I heard this guy on TV, and he was on heroin. And he shot heroin for the first time. And he said to himself, that's what I've been missing my whole life. That's what he said. This is how sick that you get without following God. You actually think that heroin is the thing that you've been looking for your whole life. The Bible says the whole earth groans. It groans for the relationship with God. And if you don't have it, you're hungering and thirsting after it. And you can't fulfill that with anything. So they take drugs to take their mind off of the conviction, off of their leading of saying God saying, come unto me, you know?
You know, there's a generation or multiple generations out there that we call lost. And the reason they're lost is because they can never come to know what's in their heart.
Yep.
You know, what from your head to your heart is about maybe 8 inches, you know? That's how far they're lost. Because they're stuck in their mind, they're stuck in their patterns, they're stuck in their ways, and they've never come to know the trueness of what's inside of them.
Correct.
And God has birthed this ministry in this place so that we can bring people that want to come in here and bring them into a truth that's within their heart so they can find that relationship with God and find that leading that's already in there.
Yep.
We're just here to confirm the word that's already within each person. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was Jesus's job too. Like when he went around prophesying to people and speaking into people's lives, he just witnessed to what was already in them.
Correct.
You know, and that's how they found the life, because they needed somebody to come along and say, hey, what's inside of you is good. Follow it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many different ministries out there that always say, oh, you know what? You can't follow your heart because it's deceivingly wicked. But it's because they're attaching it with the lust of the flesh. You know, there's a thing there that's fighting within them, and they're, a lot of times they're stuck in their mind also. But with us, we're leading people to trust in what's in them already, you know, and they just haven't discovered it. They don't know it.
Correct.
Because all they've known is what people have told them.
The law.
The law or their mind, what their mind's saying constantly, yep, with the negativity and the you know, delusionment and everything else.
Yep.
That's why it's very important for us to continue to minister to those that are out there. You know, I find, and we have to let everybody know what's going on out there, because I'm sure they're searching and trying to find a place of worship,
yeah,
and they're not really leading the people into good pastures. They're not. They're like creating them and teaching them to be prophets and prophesy. Go out there and prophesy. They're teaching the go heal the sick.
Right.
You know, lay hands and heal the sick.
Go feed them.
They're creating failures that aren't going to last, that are flashes in the pan.
It's all a hyped up thing. And it's very upsetting because people are sick.
Yeah.
They're lost.
Yep.
And they just want happiness.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find happiness, and they're saying, well, if this is it, then I guess I'm just going to jump in it and, you know, hope I can find a life, or I hope I can get a life. Usually, they work out where you have to do a traditional thing where you love your life, but you just want that feel good. Let me put my righteous garment on so I can say I went through the works of going to a Sunday morning service, and, you know, I could still go on and do, because I lit a candle or I said a couple of Hail Marys or whatever other types of prayers there are out there that are just written as a prayer, and they repeated a hymn or something, and, you know, they give themselves over to their righteousness and said, okay, well, I'm good for the week now.
And they go right back to this.
And they live their normal life because they just don't want to change, you know?
That's right.
And
you know, I've come across many, many people over the last few years that were in religion and they couldn't find really a relationship with God. And they did all these traditions, they did all these laws and everything, and they basically decided to walk away from pursuing God.
Because it wasn't doing the job.
It wasn't fulfilling anything.
And you know what? Yeah. I don't blame anyone but the leaders, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because the leaders never came across grace.
No,
there's no revelation, there's no knowledge to lead these people into a newness and a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's just here's the pattern that we were told back in 1950. Follow that, and that's going to be your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wrong. It just doesn't lead you to anything.
Yep.
And there's there like I said earlier, there's no transforming at all. You're the same person that you were suffering with years ago.
Correct.
That same person is right here still, and there's just way more problems. You never ever change. You never transform. And the only thing that transforms you is truth. Changing the way you think and not following the same patterns that put you in the place you're in right now. There's got to be a change of the patterns of your thinking, or you're never going to be transformed. You're never going to change. What can change if your thinking doesn't change?
Right.
You're destined to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over because you're like a robot. You don't change. You don't transform. And this truth that we preach in here is a transforming truth. It's a truth about you and a truth about God. And it changes the way you think about both.
Yep.
And if you listen to the messages and adopt the principles we teach in here, you will transform whether you understand what you're hearing or not.
Yep.
The truth will set you free no matter what. You're going to start getting bits and pieces and start chewing it up and swallowing it and watching your life start to transform. And that's the most incredible thing you could find, is when you start finding peace. You start finding joy finally. You start experiencing what it's like to have that peace and joy. And then you learn what it's like to keep it, which is even more important.
True.
You know, listening to the website is a very important, crucial part of what we're given. But what also is very important is to what I want to call it is a life coach.
Yeah.
You need a life coach with you. And this is why we offer our website out there so that we can be a life coach for you. You're going to need someone to say, listen, you're not thinking right. And to be that crutch to lift you up and to say, come on, you know that that's not right. Because we'll bear witness of what's inside of you and get you, we'll help you
stay
with
on
your
track.
Well, we'll help you with your spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Because the mind is going to go against what God is telling and leading you. Yeah. And you're going to get all worried and caught up and have fear. And we're going to be there as that crutch to say, stop thinking that way, okay? Because what you're doing is not correct. And the witness that we are, is you're going to say, you know what, you're right. And I'm just going to go ahead and move forward.
Right.
You know what, you're right. I'm going to just go ahead and do it. You know what, you're right. And it's not that we're right. It's that we are the witness
Correct. Of
what is already inside of you. So it's not like we're right and we're telling you anything special. We're just repeating
confirming
what is actually already inside of you.
The Bible does say that Christ is the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prophesying into you what's already in you. We're just bearing witness with that word or that unction or that inspiration that's already on your heart,
mm-hmm.
and getting you to follow it so you would have a life,
and
eternal.
And the problem that you're going to have is that if you don't find people like us, unfortunately, your family and friends don't see what's in your heart. They're not going to believe it because they can't see it. So they're going to come against what you're trying to do. They're going to come against it and tell you you're wrong. You shouldn't do that. This is what you should do. They're never going to build up you, who's inside of you. They're never going to build up who's inside of you. They're going to just try to smash it. And that's where we come in. We don't do that. You know, we're going to help you and lead you in the path that's already in your heart.
A lot of times, they're a hot mess to begin with, too.
Exactly right.
The people
and
that are
loves
telling
company.
Them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you really need someone who is level-headed and under a calmness that they're not a hot mess.
Yep.
And most of the time, too, they don't want to deal with you. They got their own problems. And when they have their own problems, they're real short with you, and then they think on their own reasoning and their own understanding. And
to get
they,
it over with.
Yeah, just to push you aside.
Yeah.
Or they could even be controlling you or using you or taking your resources, so they don't want you to change, because if you change, then they lose their meal ticket, or they lose their person they can control and manipulate. And that's another reason they don't want to lose that.
And so, you know, this is why it's important for you to take advantage of our website and to reach out to us and be able to maybe allow us to be your life coach, to allow us to be your crutch, to speak into your life. I remember, and it's not a remembrance. I do this often through my Facebook page, and I have people that will contact me and say, can you please pray for me, because they know through my Facebook page that I'm a pastor and stuff like that, and they ask for me to pray and stuff, and you know, and then they'll instant message me, and then we would talk through instant message and talk back and forth. And they would start telling me what their problems are, and then I start telling them what the truth is. And next thing you know, it's done and over, and they don't want to hear it, and then probably they drop off. And it's like, well, you don't want to hear the truth, you know.
The Bible says the truth hurts.
Yeah.
Because it goes against your flesh.
Yeah.
It goes against everything you believe up to this point.
Well, here's a perfect example. Yeah. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give our listeners an example. Not mentioning any names, but this girl asked for me to pray for her boyfriend. I said, what's up with your boyfriend? Well, he's on drugs. I said, okay, let me guess. Is it heroin? Yes, it's heroin and cocaine. Okay, so he's addicted to heroin and cocaine. I said, well, why don't you dump him? I said, what you're doing is you're pacifying him, and you're feeding him, and you're enabling him. I said, you're feeding his soulish spirit, woe me. The dude is just, you know, doing the drugs because he wants to get high. He don't care about you, and he's making you feel sorry for him as if somehow or another he's in pain. He's not in pain. He's getting high. He's having a ball. And I told her to dump him. I said, why even bother praying for him? I said, dump him.
He likes it too much.
Yeah, he likes it too much. And then that was the last I heard of him. She didn't want to hear the fact to dump him. You know, I said, you're a good girl. I said, you can probably get anybody you want. What are you doing with that loser?
She wanted him to change and stay together.
It's like
I said, they're comfortable with familiar.
Yeah.
And they're familiar with the world. They're familiar with horrible emotions, with fear, worry, anxiety, all those things they're familiar with. They don't even know the other side of it. It's all they've ever known their whole life. They've never known true peace. They've never known true joy. All they've known their whole lives is fear, worry, anxiety. That's it. That's their friends. And those friends are saying to them, no, don't do that. You just stay right here. You'll be fine. So they go right back to misery. They never change.
Well, one of the things that this girl said was, you know, I want to dump him. I've left him a couple of times, but I came back to him because I feel bad for him. I said, well, we got a big problem here.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's like you got to move on. Why are you tying yourself up with a loser like him? Really, the bottom line, because anybody that has to get, you know, put themselves in that addiction or put themselves into that high, they're really being just selfish.
It's pure selfishness.
It's pure selfishness. They don't care about anybody else but themselves.
It's basically living suicide.
Yeah.
Because people have said that I lost my child to this drug. They became the drug. My kid's not even there anymore. They lose their identity to this addiction or this lust. We called it right earlier.
It's a lust. And then they went to the sin. And then the sin, you know, and then it says it leads to death.
Exactly right.
And the person that, the girl, becomes dependent on that situation and that person because maybe
she
feels
self-righteous.
Exactly,
you're right. It feeds her self-righteousness. It feeds her pride,
as if she's a good girl.
Oh, I'm helping him. I'm helping him out.
I'm helping him out.
Here, have another hit.
And she thinks it's compassion.
It's not.
And it's not.
You're killing him. His blood's on your hands if you don't cut out of there. Bottom line, you keep feeding.
You're enabling him.
Yeah, you're enabling it. If you walked away, he might change. Because you don't walk away, he's not going to change.
He's not going to change.
So what's your risk? He changes and you go back together later on when he's healed, or you keep going down the same road of misery you're in right now?
Or you just move on and there's probably someone else better, you know, that's
right around the corner.
I
mean, and you're still stuck in that with him.
Yeah. You know, the only reason why I see that she's with him is because she's bored. She don't have no drama in her life.
Correct.
And this keeps her occupied. She's got something to do.
Yeah, they
go. Let me protect Charlie, you know.
Did my good deed today.
Yeah, I did my good deed.
Yeah.
But, you know, to our listeners, this is why it's so important for you to really grab hold of this truth. We've been in the world. We already know how the world operates. It's not like we were born in religion and we don't know what's out there. We know what it's like to be an addict. We know what it's like to be an alcoholic. We know what it's to be an enabler. Yep.
We've been it all.
Yeah, we've been in the world. We've been saturated in the world. And we've been divinely touched and been reborn. We're born again. And we have the love of God in our hearts. We have a relationship with God. And we understand the truth. This truth has set us free. It wasn't the prophets that, you know, died for us or, you know, whatever came in and led us to God. It was God himself who divinely changed us through his grace and brought us into a realm of glory. We're victorious. We are changed from glory to glory to glory. We are overcoming parts of our flesh, and then we overcome parts of the flesh. We come to glory, we overcome more 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 flesh. And as we keep overcoming more flesh, we die daily. Every day we're dying daily to the sin and the lust of the things of the world.
We're
coming to the truth, being transformed. We go from glory to glory to glory. And eventually we'll become kings of glory.
Yep.
Kings of glory. And live in that realm of glory. And this is what God is saying in this new age. And I hope that there are those individuals that so-called call them prophets out there and those other ministries out there that really mean well, and I know they do. I want you to listen to us because we are like a forefather to you. And we are trying to lead you into the movement in this generation. And if you're looking to save souls, or you're looking to change your dying church, because of the fact that you're coming into a doctrine that, first of all, is not in the new generation that's coming up.
No.
That truth that you're preaching is not truth anymore. It's deception. They can't receive it. And because they can't receive it, your churches are dying. They're dying.
They don't know what sin is.
They have
no idea. And you're putting this sin on them, and they're saying, what's sin?
Yeah, you know? I'm not a bad person.
I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, I'm not a bad person.
You know, maybe I'm a little lost because, you know, I'm suffering, or I'm, you know, going through all these different things. But what are you talking about, this other stuff?
They're really missing the whole entire new gospel.
Yeah.
They're still following the law.
Yep.
They're still following the Old Testament. They're still following the Bible as the written law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no following the heart. There's no following God within them. And that's where they're falling short. Because these kids who are rising up today have no judgment in their hearts towards anything. Yep. So you can't tell them, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. You just got to lead them to the voice of God in them, and they could, and that direction in their heart.
So we're out of time now, and we have to cut it short. But I want to thank all of our listeners for logging on. I apologize that I had to leave out for a moment, but, Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim has finished leading the rest of the night. And, you know, I want to just kind of encourage those out there that are listening, please take this serious. Take what we have serious. You might have heard it before. You might have thought you heard it again, or you heard something like it, because the message isn't really different other than a few things that we're taking out and putting in. We're emphasizing mostly on the realm of grace and the knowledge of being transformed, and that sin is created through our lust.
By man.
And the desires of the things of the world that are separating us from God. And the realm of glory is a transformation from the flesh into a divine nature. And we're ultimately, our ultimate goal is to be changed into a full glory.
Yep.
And this is what's happening in this new generation, to understand that we aren't with sin. And if we just continue to receive grace, change the way we're thinking, the old man will die, the new man will rise up, will become into a form of a resurrected power, and we will be brought into a realm of glory, which is victory. And we'll have victory over our life. We'll have victory over darkness. We'll have victory over death. And the last thing that we want to accomplish is death lost its sting.
Yeah.
And there is no death, and there's no fear of death. And, you know, those that are out there, I know you're lost. I know that you're sick. I know that you're confused. And the reason is because that's how the whole world was born.
Correct. Yeah. That's how the whole world thinks.
And that's how we were once.
And you know
we were in that miry pit.
And they were never enlightened.
No.
You know, there was no enlightenment as far as God in them. And because they always probably thought, hey, I had to get on my knees five times a day and pray and mm-hmm. say this and say that, repetitive prayers, thinking I have a relationship with God, and you're still empty.
Right.
You know, hey, God, how come you haven't answered my prayers?
Right.
You know, because you were praying wrong.
Right.
You know, and we spoke about prayer a while back in
here.
Yeah,
just keep logging on. You'll get those nuggets about it.
Exactly.
But the main thing is you're not alone. Okay, whatever you're going through, wherever you've been, we've been there already. It's not like you're coming to us with a problem that we never knew about.
Correct.
Yep. You know, we've already went into that arena. We already tackled and accomplished and overcame and proven and tested.
Yep. So, and we got the T-shirts.
Yeah, and we got the T-shirts. So, whatever problem you think you have, we already had it.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing new. So what I'm saying is, you might be out there thinking, well, you don't understand. I got problems, and, you know, you don't understand. And if you would have rewinded my life 10, 15 years, or no, more than that now.
25
years ago, yeah. You would have saw a mirror image of you. So, you know, you're not telling anybody anything different, you know. So we're here for you. Please listen to what we got to say. Don't know what else more to say other than that.
We'll make your mountain a molehill.
Yeah.
You think it's a mountain, but it's really a molehill. We'll show you.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And that's a take.